So today we start our last, my last complete sermon series. So we're going to be doing a sermon series called Seven Bible Verses That Changed My Life, and pretty excited about this. So starting next year, I won't be doing complete sermon series. I'll still be preaching just a lot less and be part of our rotating preaching team. But this is a sermon series I'm pretty excited about. Truthfully, these are Bible verses we'll be looking at over the next several weeks that totally transformed my life. I mean, completely changed me, like going this way to this way. And I believe that the Bible is that powerful. You know, if you become familiar with it, read it regularly, it'll change your life. And over the years, I've just gained, you know, just wisdom and insight and direction trying to walk through life. And over the past 40 plus years, I have devoted my life to this book. I mean, I've read this book. I've read cover to cover, I'm sure, 20 plus times. I've taught through it several times. I've memorized huge portions of it because I believe it's alive. I truly believe it's alive. And what I like about the Bible especially is it's so alive that there are times where you may be reading it and you'll read a passage, and maybe you've read it before, or maybe it's the first time, but you'll read a passage and all of a sudden it just jumps off the page. You ever have that experience reading the Bible, a certain passage, just like, it's like almost like God's talking right to you, like, this is for you. It's that you get a clarity and you, oh man, I never saw this before. And I like to call those like epiphanies. You know, they're these revelations that quite often that Bible verse becomes like a life verse. It's like an anchor to your faith, and you find yourself even referring to it often or telling other people about that verse and how it can help you. So today we'll be looking at the first Bible verse that totally transformed my life. It's found in the book of Revelations. It's in chapter 3. If you have your Bibles, if not, we've got it up on the screen for you. It's verse 20. It says here, this is Jesus talking. He says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and dine with him, and he with me." You know, as far back as I can remember, I've always had, even as a child, a soft heart towards God. I grew up in a very devout Roman Catholic family. It was a large family, 12 children. And my dad made sure we were in church every single Sunday of my life. Even to this day, I think I've only missed church a few times in my entire life. Every night, this is really incredible, but every night, Dad would gather all the 12 children, and we would kneel down in the living room, and we would pray every single night. We would pray the rosary every single night. Now, I believe praying a rosary is idolatry. I mean, I don't think that's biblically correct, but doing that every night, praying with my family every single night, it impacted me. It influenced me and gave me this reverence for God. This I had this hunger, but I just knew that, you know, I wanted to know God. And and even though I never heard the gospel, like the Bible, preached to me, and I never even read it, I knew as a young child, I knew the basic tenets of the Christian faith. I mean, I knew Jesus was the Son of God. I knew God was real. I've never doubted the reality of God. I knew sin was bad. I knew there was a heaven and a hell. I knew Jesus died on the cross. But here's the difference. I grew up knowing a lot about God. I knew a lot about God. I went to Catholic school for 9 years. I knew a lot about God. But I had this hunger inside of me for God. I always felt like there was something missing. I remember as an altar boy, on numerous occasions, I would ask the Catholic priest, you know, how do you get to know God? Do you guys know God? I didn't even know how to ask the question, and I never really got a helpful answer. I got things like, well, maybe you should become a priest, or maybe, you know, just keep praying your prayers. And so I always just felt like I'm missing it. I felt like something was missing. Actually, by the time I graduated high school, I was totally lost, and I had no idea what I wanted to do with my life. I don't think that's much different today. I think high school kids quite often graduate and don't know what they want to do with their lives. The only problem was it was a little different back then because the Vietnam War was on, and if you graduated high school and you had to get a draft number, if your draft number was low, that meant you were going to Vietnam, and my draft number was low. So I graduated high school, and I thought, I'm not going to Vietnam. I mean, nobody wanted to go over there and fight that war, and I didn't know what to do, but they said, if you want to avoid the war, go to college. And so I thought, that sounds good to me, so I decided to go to college and didn't know what I was doing there. I wasted my entire year, but I figured it's better than going to Vietnam. But by the end of that year, I'm telling you, I was hungry for God, and I didn't know what it was. And I distinctly remember toward the end of that year, I made an appointment with another priest. I said, I'm trying to find God. Something's missing in my life. And again, no help. Just pray more. So I decided I got to do something. So I had a friend of mine, and I said, you know what, let's just hitchhike around the country, and maybe we could figure out life. So he said, okay, and so we had $60 between the two of us, and right outside New York City, we put our thumbs out, and we started hitchhiking across the country for the summer. We just went all over and just had ourselves a good time trying to figure out life. We end up in San Francisco, and we go to the Haight-Ashbury district, and that's where all the hippies were gathering in the late 60s, early 70s, and you went there if you had, you know, had need, and so we were broke, hungry, we didn't have a place to stay, and they had these reference places, and you'd go there and say, hey, you guys know where we can stay? And they said, oh yeah, there's crash pads around the city. We went there and they said, well, they're all full up, but there's one that still has some room. It's some Jesus freak house. And my friend looked at me and said, you know what that means? I said, no, but if they'll let us stay and they give us food, I'm in. So they sent us down the road, and we went down the road and we spent the night at that house. And it was the second night that I was sitting there eating dinner, and one of the guys that ran the house sat next to me and said, you ever think much about God? And I said, yeah, I think about him a lot. He said, do you have a relationship with him? I said, what are you talking about, a relationship with him? I go to church. So then he opened the Bible, and he read this verse to me. He said, listen to this. This is Jesus. And he said, Jesus said, behold, I stand at the door, and I knock. If anyone hears my voice, and invites me in, I'll come in. And I'm telling you, right then and there, I felt him knocking at the door of my heart. I mean, it was boom, boom. And it was like, oh my gosh. My eyes were open. I didn't know what to do. I said to the guy, I got to think about this. And I ran outside. My friend was outside. I said, I think Jesus is knocking at the door of my heart. He said, really? Have some wine, you know, you need to settle down, boy. He handed me the bottle. I said, no, that's not what I need. I went back inside. I found the guy. I said, I will open the door of my heart. And I prayed with that guy right then and there. And I'm telling you, right then and there, something happened. My life was changed, completely changed. And the next morning, they said, the people that ran the house said, hey, would you like to stay and join us? And I said, what does that mean? They said, well, we're just running a crash pad, and you live here, and we work and pool all our money, and we help people, and all right, I'm in. I'll join. And I said to my friend, I'm not going back home. See you later. I think I had $8 left. I said, here's my $8. God bless you, man. And off he went, and I stayed and joined this Christian commune. I became a Jesus freak. I mean, a total sold-out Jesus freak. I mean, every day we would go out at night after work, we'd go out in the streets or even in the house. We had people that came and stayed with us, and we would tell everybody about Jesus, and I didn't know anything other than this Bible verse, and so I would just tell people, look, Jesus is knocking at the door of your heart, man. Jesus wants to come into your life. My poor family, you know, I started writing them letters from San Francisco and telling them, you need to open the door of your hearts, and they thought, yeah, Dave. You know, my faithful brother Henry was kind enough to come out and try to help me. Thought I was having a nervous breakdown or something, but I just kept telling, no, man, I found God. I finally found God. I found Jesus, man. We need God in our lives. My older sister Elizabeth came out, and she, you know, checked me out, and I think it was just the grace of God somehow, even though we were being totally crazy and radical and, you know, living in this commune and stuff like that, but somehow God reached my family. All of my family over a period of time got saved, and even some of my family joined up with the Shiloh ministry. The name of it was called Shiloh, and It was like a network of crash pads all over the United States. And they were each just run by the people working, pooling their money, and every night hitchhikers would come in and preach the gospel. And during that time, there were literally thousands and thousands of young people on the road. And every night we would preach the gospel. But this verse totally transformed my life. When I realized for the first time that Jesus wanted to come into my life, I just never heard that. I believed in God. I prayed to God. All I knew was memorized prayers. I could say the Lord's Prayer and the Our Father and the Apostles' Creed and lots of prayers I had memorized. But this was something different. And I found this personally impacted my life, because if you back up on this verse, this is verse 20 where Jesus says, "I stand at the door." If you back up a few verses to verse 14, you find out he's knocking at the door of a church. He's knocking at the door of a church. "Please let me in." This is like symbolic, but it's spiritually true. What he's saying is, and the church was actually called the Laodicean church, what he was saying is, there's some churches I'm not even a member of. I'm on the front door on a porch saying, "Hey, can I come in?" And it's even more than that. It's personal. This wasn't just to a church. This was to individuals. What this is saying is, you can be religious and not know God. This is the struggle so many American Christians have. This was my story. I was religious. I went to church every Sunday. I never missed church. I prayed every day. I never once in my life doubted in the existence of God. I've never had that experience of thinking, is there even a God? I knew there was a God, but I didn't know him. I knew about him. And this verse says, "I'd like to come in and hang out with you." I like even the wording here, like it's so like unreligious. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I'll come into him. But look what he says, "And I'll eat. I'll have some dinner. I'll eat some food with you. I'll hang out with you." This is the non-religious Jesus that most of us need to get to know, because what he didn't say is, "I'm knocking at the door, and if you pray harder, you might get to know me." All he's saying is, just open the door. I want to hang. I'd like to eat dinner with you. I'd like to get to know you. And on top of that, I think, and I'm pretty sure this is true, this is not talking to only the priest. This is not talking to only the religious people who are very, very holy, the saints. This is talking to you and me. This is talking to the average person. This is Jesus saying, "I'm really interested in getting to know you, and I want to have a relationship with you." This is saying, if look at what it says here, "If you hear my voice," if anyone hears my voice, this is saying God wants to know us and have a relationship with us, the kind of relationship that is conversational, two-way. God wants to talk to me. God wants to talk to you. I mean, this is transforming stuff. Sad to say that many Christians, or I might even say religious people, most of their prayer life is talking to God. "I say my prayers. Please help so-and-so. Please take care of this. Please do this. Please don't do that. Please heal this person." That's talking to God. Can I help you out here a little bit? There's a difference between talking to God and hanging out with God. Sitting next to me, "Jesus, you know, this is going on. What do you think about this? And could you please guide me?" And he wants to talk to us. He's not interested in your memorized prayers. He wants to know you. And this is this is not the only place in the Bible where it talks about God wanting to talk to us. So many places in Scripture, Old Testament and New Testament, has phrases like this: "And God said to Abraham," "And God said to Moses," "And God said to this person," "And God said to that person." And in the New Testament it says, "And the Spirit said to this person," "And the Spirit said to that person." Wouldn't you like that to say, "And the Spirit said to Bob," "And the Spirit said to Mary," "And the Spirit said to David"? Yes, this is what this promise is here. If you will hear my voice, it implies you can hear his voice. You really can hear his voice. It is a real relationship. And this started me on a path that I've been on 40 plus years. I mean, I've grown in my understanding and relationship with God, but I pray, please never let me lose this revelation that Jesus wants to hang out with me. Jesus wants to dine with me. You know, when Jesus was on the earth, this is what caught the religious people off guard, that Jesus was just so normal. He loved hanging out with people and eating with them and relaxing with them, and they thought he should be more of a holy man, and they couldn't understand that. But that's Jesus. He's not religious. He's relational. And if your understanding of God, or if your practices, your religious practices, don't have this two-way conversation as part of it, probably that's a religion. It's quite possible you might be in this category of Jesus knocking at the door, a church. Sad that there's plenty of churches today, literal churches, where Jesus is not a part, you know, of that church. But I think it's just sad to think of a religious person who's trying to find God, who's praying, who goes to church and believes in God, but never had Jesus cross that threshold. Come on in. Come on in, Jesus. Change my life. So I'm here to say it's still true today. In summary, Jesus is still knocking at the door. You know, maybe you're sitting here, maybe you're a good person, maybe you're religious, maybe you go to church, you come here every Sunday, maybe you say your prayers, maybe you serve and you help people. I mean, that's awesome, but here's the question you want to ask. Do you hear his voice? Now, I point to my ears, but we know we're not talking about here with our ears, we're talking about inside. You can hear the voice of God. He speaks to you. You sense it. It's the presence of God. And I'm here to challenge you to say, gosh, don't miss it. I'm not going to let you down and not tell you how you can know God. I'll tell you that peace that you're missing, that hunger you might have, or that hunger you have, can be met when you open the door of your life. And then for the rest of us, it's to realize Jesus didn't say it was a one-time event, like just open the door, come on in, Jesus, and now I'm busy. He's talking about hanging out with us. And let me just encourage you, hang out with Jesus. You know, try to maybe even use that as different terminology for your prayer life, because I think sometimes when we use the word prayer, we feel like, I feel guilty just hearing the word prayer. And the first response is, well, I don't pray enough. And so then I got to pray more. That's not what Jesus wants. He wants to hang out with you. He wants to dine with you. He wants to sit down and ask you how you're doing, and he'll share with you some thoughts he has. He'll speak to your heart, give you direction and guidance. So to that's the first verse that totally transformed my life, and may God use it in your life. May it become an anchor that you realize he's still knocking, he's still available, still wants to know you. Let's pray. Woo! Yeah! Yeah! Well, God, I thank you that, oh man, I just thank you, you knock at the door of our hearts. It's not about being religious. It's not about going to church. It's about opening the door and saying, come on in, Jesus. Thank you that you want to know us, and you want to hang out with us. Average Joes, average people. You're not asking us to clean up our act. You're not asking us to do certain things other than just invite you in. Father, I don't know the condition of everybody's hearts here today, but I just want to take a moment and put an offer out there. We're going to be worshiping the Lord here, and as we're worshiping, you know, open your hearts and see, have you had that point in your life where you've opened your life up to Jesus? When we're done with the worship, we're going to come up and just going to have some time for ministry. But I'm just going to make that offer to say, if maybe today's the day. Maybe this verse can totally transform your lives. So God, I pray. I just pray you move through the worship. And if you're knocking at the doors of some hearts here today, God, they would hear that like I heard it 40 plus years ago. boom, boom, boom. We just welcome your presence here, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. We stand up. God, we thank you that you love every one of us so much that you knock at the door of our hearts and you wait patiently for us to open that door. And Father, I just pray today, if you're knocking at some doors here, God, that people would hear it, would recognize, that's what I need. I need God in my life. God, they'd have the courage and just the fortitude to say, yes, I want you. God, you're the one that calls us to you. You're the one that knocks at the door. And I pray right now, Father, just by your Holy Spirit, knock at doors here. I think there's numerous people here today that would fall into the same category I fell into. You're a good person. I mean, we know we are sinners, but you go to church. You're trying to do what's right. You're saying your prayers. You're trying to help people. But is there something still missing? Is there that peace in your life where you go, that peace missing in your heart, and you're saying, I need God. So if you sense that need this morning, I encourage you, take the step, make a decision, open the door of your life, and let God come in and change you and reveal himself to you. So Father, I pray right now, anyone here that they would hear that voice. So if I'm talking to you, would you just do me a favor? Just hold your hand up. I want to pray with you, and I want to help you invite Jesus into your life just like people helped me years ago. Sense that need. I want Jesus to come into your life. It's that moment where you have to make the decision. No one can do it for you. Yeah, all the way in the back, one hand back there. Come on. This is different than saying I know a lot about God. This is different than saying I go to church. This is saying I'm inviting you into my life, Jesus. I would like for you to become a part of my life, really a part of my life. Anybody else this morning? Just hold your hand up. I want to pray with you. Yep, right back here. Hold it up. Hold your hand up. Come on. I believe God's going to honor this. I see two hands. I see three hands right over here. Right over here. Hold your hand up. Come on, man. Come on. There's another hand right there. Come on. I just want to say, you don't want to miss this. This will change your life. Jesus is real. He's real. It's a time where you make the decision right here up front. Good for you, man. Come on. About five or six hands up right now. Anybody else? We're going to pray. All right, we're going to pray this prayer together. And when we pray it, I'm telling you, Jesus is coming in. He promised it. We just sang about it. It's real. So let's pray. Jesus, I'm opening the door of my life. I'm inviting you in. Please become a part of my life. I want to know you, and I want to be known by you. Oh, man, come, Holy Spirit. Come right now. Come on. Right now. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Right now. All the way in the back. Right now. Let him come in. Right here, brother. Come on. Come on, that feeling you're having right now, there's something going on, Holy Spirit, right now. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Awesome, man. All right, thank you. Thank you. You can put your hands down. So listen, yeah, wow. Yeah, all right, man. Good for you.